Our podcast will begin in just a moment. InvestTalk distribution is made possible by KPP Financial, Steve Peasley, President. And if you'd like to see the many KPP wealth management programs, they're all described on investtalk.com, like the Dynamic Growth Program, providing flexible management for optimum returns. It's opportunistic, it offers broad diversification, and provides potential bear market protection. To see more, click on the Investments tab on investtalk.com. And now, today's InvestTalk.
Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to InvestTalk. It is February 16th, 2016, Tuesday. Appreciate you being here. Our InvestTalk mission is to help you become a better money manager of your own money. This forum is designed to help our listeners to gain knowledge, exchange ideas, and become current on relevant investment news. Hopefully that's what we do. We're here to answer your questions. You can reach us directly. We're live 4 to 5 Pacific Time, Monday through Friday, and the number is 888-99-CHART. You can ask a question. You can leave a question there 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. If you want, you can send me a note, an email. Just click on Contact Steve or Contact Justin at investtalk.com. Those are the ways you can get to us and ask your questions. And we answer them. Now, you hear us urging you to take our free risk analysis little survey on investtalk.com. It's easy, a couple, 3 minutes. Risk in investing is how much risk you take tells you how comfortable you are. What that risk level is what we're trying to help you measure. How much risk should you take so you can feel comfortable with the market? You can take very little risk, and this risk analysis tool will help you with that. So that's what it is. Just a few questions. If you score an 80 or around 80, that's the risk of the S&P 500. More than that, you're being very, very, very risky. Less than that, the lower it goes, the less risk you take. It goes from 0 to 100. So it's free to take. It only takes a few minutes, so you want to try it. So one way to measure performance of risk is through volatility. How much volatility is there in a market? And that will tell you how much risk there is. You know, the more volatile the market is, the more risk you're taking. So how do you measure volatility? See, risk is a personal thing, how much risk you want. Volatility is what the market is doing. And we measure volatility by alpha and beta, two different metrics that are commonly discussed in financial industry. These metrics are important to understand as they measure the performance of volatility relative to the overall market. Alpha is a number assigned to the return over an overall index. It is pretty simple to grasp. For example, if your portfolio returns 12% and your comparable index returns 10%, your alpha would be 12 minus 10 or 2 equals 2. Any number greater than 0 would indicate outperformance of the market. Hedge fund managers love to talk about positive alphas all the time. Doesn't mean you're always going to make money, by the way. You know, you try. This is just one way measure. A beta measures the volatility compared to the market overall, S&P 500. These are different terms that you should become familiar with. They help you understand volatility. For instance, if you are looking at a beta of above 1, 1 is the S&P 500, and a beta above 1, if it was 1.2, let's say, beta, that means it's 20% more volatile, up or down, than the S&P 500. That's what that means. A beta under 1 means it's less volatile. Over 1 means it's more volatile than the overall market, the stock that you're looking at. Is it more volatile or less? In times like we have now where there's lots of volatility, you would tend to want to be in low beta stocks, less volatile. Because a lot of the volatility now is down volatility. If it was up volatility, you would tend to want to be in high beta stocks, because they'll go up faster than the market. And it's really not what you want, it's understanding what you have or what you're going to invest in. That's the important thing. So do you have questions on these kinds of things? Any money questions at all? Let's talk about it. Let's hear your comments, your questions. 888-99-CHART is our anytime number.
Hi, this is Samantha. I've listened to the podcast, and I haven't been investing very long, and I also don't have that much money. I'm 31 years old. Anyway, basically, I just have so many questions, even though I've been researching the whole topic of investing and doing it as well for the past couple of years. There's still so much that I don't know. And this might sound silly, but what I'm wondering is, how do you get to the point where you really, you're not just an average or investing like on the side, like how, where you really like know about it? Is there, what major do you have and would you take in school? Like, is there a class I can go to? Because it's, especially with the market, how it is now, but just listening to podcasts and reading stuff online, it's, I need more help than that, I think. So if you could let me, give me some kind of advice, that'd be great. Thank you.
I wish there was, were classes. I wish there were classes. There's classes on economics. There's classic, there's all kinds of classes at colleges and stuff. But I have two college graduates from very high-ranked colleges in economics, and it doesn't help them with investing. It doesn't really help them very much with economics, the reality, the real-world experience of it. And there's really, it's very difficult and it's time-consuming to become really good at it. You just have to keep after it. I learn stuff all the time. We always, always continue to learn. When will you be comfortable with what you're learning? It's hard to know. It's really difficult to know. And I've considered, you know, maybe teaching a class on investing and how it works and, you know, what are the various things in economics you kind of need to know. No, and how does the economy work? How? What are the basics? And you really, all you don't have to be an economist. You don't have to be a stock market guru to understand how things work and to be good at investing. You don't have to be that. You don't have to be a genius. You just have to have some understanding and be less emotionally driven. That's where the problem comes in. When you have your own money at risk, people become emotionally involved instead of saying, wait a minute, step back. I'll give you an example. Everybody loves Tesla. They think Tesla is the greatest thing. The millennial generation, the younger generation think Tesla is doing just so good. And you know, that's all true. It's a great technology, great cars, good brand. They build in a super brand. I mean, there's a lot of positive things. But when it comes to investing, what I see when I look at Tesla is I see a very expensive stock. Very expensive. Is it justified? No, it's not. Can it keep going up? Sure it can. I could be totally wrong and keep going up forever. But I doubt it. One thing I don't want to do on any stock is to overpay for it. I want to buy a stock at a reasonable price. What does that mean? That's the kind of thing, you know, don't fall in love with the brand because it's a great brand. Even though branding is very important, need to be, try to separate yourself and say, okay, how much money is it going to make and when will it make it? That's really what you want to know. Investing, it's all about how much the company's going to earn and how long they can keep earning it and how long they keep growing, you know, that kind of thing. What's their profit margins? What's their, you know, and then how will an economy affect the stock? If the economy is going down or up, how will it affect that industry, that company, that stock? Reasons why you should think small cap stocks. That's going to be our main talking point today. What do you want to talk about? How about JP Morgan says avoid momentum high price stocks? Well, what's that mean? We're going to discuss that. And how far will this 2-day rally really go? We've had two very strong up days in the market. What's driving it? How far can it go? I wish I had a crystal ball I could tell you exactly, but there's no exact in anything. But, you know, let's try to figure out why it's all of a sudden had two very strong rally days. And the good and bad of the U.S. economy. What parts of our economy are doing really well? What parts aren't doing so good? And what does that mean for the overall GDP for this year? Those are the things I'm going to discuss. What do you want to talk about? You come first. I come second. And, you know, 888-99-CHARTER is our number. You can call right now. The market was up strongly today. The Dow is up 222 points. The NASDAQ up 98. And the S&P up 31. That was two very strong days in a row. Okay, does that mean we're finally in the clear and that it looks like the market's going to finally recover and start up? Remember, it's been bad last year. So far this year, it's been a terrible start, one of the worst starts of the market ever, first month and a half or so. And is it now going to start recovering? Now, you've heard Justin and I on this radio set, we're probably going to get a bounce. Is this the bounce? And how big of a bounce is it going to be? No one really knows, by the way. There's no such thing as being able to see the future. But there's what you can do is you can understand how the past has worked. And you can understand what's causing things. And you can make an educated guess, because usually the history repeats itself, usually. It's not always the same, but it tends to repeat. Have you registered for our Saturday Morning Wealth Conference that's coming up this weekend, this Saturday, the 20th, in San Jose? Survival and Opportunities in a Volatile Market. We'll show you how to be defensive, position yourself to protect your assets, and just as important, you'll learn how to find the solid opportunities, stocks that you can buy at a price that will reward you in years to come. To register, just go to investtalk.com. Seating is limited. It's been pretty popular so far. So that's investtalk.com, or you can call 888-99-CHART. I'm hoping to find some time today also talk about Social Security, the law that they just changed on Social Security, and give you some. I read an article about it. I thought I'd like to share that if I can get to it. Let's talk to BJ in Fremont. How you doing, BJ?
I'm good. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
Steve, I want your views on Adobe Systems. I noticed that it has a pretty high PE, running about 40, and it is down from its all-time high about 20% with the recent market downturn. Mm-hmm. I was wondering, and the short interest is also very low on this stock.
Yes.
So mm-hmm. What do you think? Why it is, is it really, it looks very expensive. So is it a shorting candidate, or it is an accumulation candidate, or what we do with it?
Okay, Adobe Systems, everybody, provides design, imaging, publishing software for print, web, mobile, and dynamic media production. It's going to make $2.76 this year, up 33%, and next year, $3.71, up another 34%, and sales are growing 20% in the last two quarters each. So it's a pretty good growth story here, and it would not be something I would short, even though, BJ, it is kind of expensive. I mean, it's selling for $78, it's going to make $3.71, so that is, 22 PE or so? It's not super
expensive. No, 61. The PE is saying is a PE ratio of 61.
That's because you're looking at last year's earnings, $2.08. I'm looking at next year's earnings, $3.71. Do you see how that works? Yeah, so yeah. Don't look back. Look forward. Find out. Even though the estimates could be wrong, BJ, I mean, I don't pretend that they're written in stone. They're not. But that's how market trades. So I'm saying this is not a stock to short, but I think this is a stock you might want to consider buying long, because $74 is very, very strong. $72 to $75 in that range, very strong support, and it bounced right off it. So, it depends on what you want to do. If you want to get aggressive, you would buy it here. If you want to wait to see what the market's going to do, you wait and take your time and see if this really is a bottom. But I don't think you would short it. I don't think so. It's too strong a growth and too strong a earnings. Okay?
Thank you.
Thanks, BJ. I appreciate it. Now, if the sales were going down and earnings were going down, then heck yeah, this would be overpriced. You could short that. Are you willing to accept above average risk? If your investments lose money over the course of a year, can you easily resist the temptation to sell them? These are important questions that every investor needs to answer, honestly, to themselves, really for you. Can you hold something for a year even though it's lost money and now it's cheaper? This is InvestTalk, and we're here to help you answer all money questions. 888-99-CHART. 888-99-CHART. Reasons why investors need to consider small cap stocks. First of all, what's a small cap stock? Okay. It's between $250 million and $2 billion market cap. Meaning, what's a market cap? The stock price times the number of shares outstanding. That gives you the size of the company. $250 million to $2 billion is considered small. Anything under $250 is micro cap. Well, what's the benefits of small cap investing? What's the benefit? Remember, and also try to remember, the small cap area of the market is considered extremely risky. Remember that term, extremely risky. Lots of high volatility. But by the virtue of that, by the virtue of the high volatility and risk, the more risk you take, the more reward. The more risk you take, the more disasters could happen. So the reason why you should consider small cap investing is because you can get more reward. Now, risk this time in the marketplace where we are right today, it's more than extremely risky. You're way, I think you'd need to avoid this area of the market right now. But at the same time, have you seen how hard it's been hit? See, at some point, the damage to the small caps turns into an opportunity. Are we there yet? I don't think so. I don't think so, but there is lots of potential the further it gets crushed. Go back to 2009. Take a look. What happened to small caps in 2008? What happened to them in 2009? The problem is we don't know where that bottom is. We don't. But there's lots of opportunity. Okay, lots of opportunity. And in a small cap area, you're going to have, if you're going to buy small cap stocks, you better get used to 7, 10% movements in a day. You'll be down 7% today, up 10% tomorrow, or vice versa. Just the nature of the beast. So there's lots of opportunities and lots of risk, both. So what do you do in this kind of market? Well, you really cut down your risk in this kind of market. So your small cap should be very tiny fraction, if any, in your portfolio at this point. That's our main talking point. 888-99-CHART is our number. If you want to give us a call and talk, you can call that number right now. Our first priority is always answering your questions. So let's pick up a call that came in before today's program on our 24-hour listener line.
Yes, hello. First-time caller, really, really great program you have. I'm interested in putting Disney DIS into my 401k, and I was wondering whether you think that would be a wise decision to hold Disney for the long term, and at what price point you would recommend to get in. Thank you very much, and all the very best.
Now, I personally like Disney, but they got lots of problems right now. And everybody knows how great the earnings were they just reported last week. Everybody understands they had, you know, the new Star Wars movie is a blockbuster, and all the toys, oh, it's just great. But movies and theme parks, movies is not its only business. You got theme parks, and they're doing very well, too. But you also have TV. And in particular, their biggest money maker in the TV side is ESPN. And that is where the problem lies. Why am I saying that's where the problem lies? Because ESPN is distributed on cable networks. That's how they normally distribute it. Very popular ESPN. But cable, people are cutting the cable, cutting the lines. People are leaving cable. And so that's going to hurt Disney. I don't know if they figured out how to fix that yet. Now, having said that, at some point, Disney is going to be a great bargain. I'm just not, and if you're going to buy for the long haul, well, this could be the price where you'd want to pick it up, but you got to be very patient and got to understand they have some issues, and it's not that cheap. It's a $92 stock, going to make $6.22 next year, and that's about a 15, 16 PE. That's not cheap. That's market normal. So if you really, you know, it would be nice if we could pick it up cheaper. DIS is a symbol, Walt Disney. So I do like Disney. I think they have great, you know, those three areas are really good money makers. They're movies, theme parks, and TV. And I think Disney will figure it out. I just don't know how much damage the TV, ESPN, contracts, how much damage that's going to do to them, you know, in the meantime. Long term, I think it's going to be around here forever. I don't see a problem with that. Pays a 1.5% dividend, which is not a great dividend. You know, if you already have, there's other areas I think are better opportunities in the marketplace, especially in oil. You can get a higher dividend, better, a cheaper price. I just kind of like that. But I still like Disney, DIS. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. J.P. Morgan, J.P. Morgan said avoid momentum high-priced stocks. They're suggesting low PEs, high return on equities. Momentum at a reasonable price. I'm going to go one further than that. I think you should think about value stocks this year. Value stocks, not momentum stocks at all. You're listening to InvestTalk. Coming up on the next half hour, the closest we get to a crystal ball, leading economic indicators. 888-99-CHART is our anytime number. You can call right now.
Part of the InvestTalk experience is visiting our website, investtalk.com. And one of the reasons for a visit is Steve's market commentary. Just go to investtalk.com and scroll down to his market commentary. For our Southern California subscribers, if you're looking to buy, sell, or invest in real estate, here's a seminar for you. Learn the ins and outs of the 1031 exchange, and InvestTalk's own Justin Klein will dig into the investment side of real estate. You'll see examples, too, of current real estate investments. It's Thursday, February 25th, 5:30 p.m. at J.T. Schmid's Restaurant. That's 2415 Park Avenue in Tustin, California. And again, that's February 25th at J.T. Schmid's in Tustin. Continue now with the Tuesday, February 16th Invest Talk. And now you can think of KPP Financial as a resource for real estate answers. To get your individual question to us, click on Contact Justin on investtalk.com or call 888-99-CHART right now.
888-992-4278. Let's talk to Art in Menlo Park. How are you doing, Art?
Good, Steve. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
I just wanted to ask you about Walmart. I've had it for probably about 6 months, but I was thinking about turning it into selling it and getting some energy stocks.
Well, I like Walmart. I do like Walmart, but I also like energy stocks, depending on which energy stocks are. But if we're going to talk about Walmart, WMT is a symbol, everybody. The reason why I like them is their sales are kind of flat the last few quarters. But the reason why I like them is, it's not that cheap of a stock, but it's also below market value, and it pays a 3% dividend, whereas opposed to Disney, it paid 1 point something. So you're getting more for your money as you hold on to and wait. And I think it looked like it put a clear bottom in the high 50s, and now it's at 66. So I may not... Art is never going to be a huge winner for you. It's never. It's one of those blue chip stocks you hold on your portfolio forever. But if that's not what you want to do, then you could trade out of it and try to find something that will give you better growth. But it is.
Yeah, I was thinking of trading out of it and getting into something like Chevron or ExxonMobil.
I think that those two have a much better shot of going up in price than Walmart. Walmart works pretty good, though, in slow economic times, recessions. It holds its value. Those others that you just mentioned, Chevron and Exxon. By the way, we own Walmart, we own Chevron, and we own Exxon in our managed accounts, all three of those. So that tells you what I like. I like all three of them. Okay, Art? Appreciate the call. Chevron at CVX is a symbol, Exxon at XOM for the symbol, and Walmart WMT. Those are the symbols. How far would this two-day rally go? Now, it's only been 2 days. That's not very much. Now, the 2 days have been pretty strong, two very strong days. Just try to remember, 3 days ago, that was last Thursday, three days, trading days anyways, the market hit a bottom. So don't get too excited about a two-day strong rally. This could be it could be part short squeeze. You know what that is? That means people who had a lot of shorts, because there was a record number of E-mini shorts on the futures contracts, meaning people were expecting the market to go down. And when too many people expect it to go in one direction, it never works that way. And now you had this strong up move in the last day or two, and it could be people getting out of those E-mini shorts, meaning they had to buy the market, and they helped push it up more. So really what you do is you step back and say, okay, is there any change in our economy, any change on the numbers, the earnings of corporations, their growth rates, any fundamental change going on yet? And you have to answer no. I mean, 40 economists just estimated that the GDP for this quarter is going to be 2.1%, down 0.5% from that 3 months ago when they were, same 40 economists were asked the same question. So is there any change? Earnings, 3 quarters in a row where their earnings have gotten worse and worse and worse for the S&P 500. 3 quarters in a row. Has that changed? If you can't say, yes, we have a turn coming in, we have some kind of catalyst to turn the economy, turn the earnings for corporate America around, then you could say, okay, maybe this is a bottom. But I can't say that. I don't see it. I still think you need to be careful. And I think this two-day rally is a nice two-day rally, and it may turn into a two-week rally. I just don't think it's a new bull phase yet. I don't see that happening anytime soon. I could be wrong. Something could come along. The Fed could change its mind about interest rates. They could do another QE. Things could happen. But right now, the things that are happening are not giving me any confidence that we are looking at a turnaround in sales and earnings for corporate America. I don't see it. Do you? Time for InvestTalk 101. Investors should always stay in touch with what matters in the economy. The economic cycle and stock market cycle are connected, with the stock market cycle moving up or down before the economic cycle. So the stock market goes down, the economy can still look pretty good and follow later, a couple, 3 months later. Vice versa is true. The stock market's up and rising, it usually, the economy will follow later. It's still falling. So you got to, there's a tie, but it's delayed. Now, what's important for your investor to watch? The average length of the work week, initial weekly jobless claims, new factory orders, purchasing managers index, PMI, building permits, and even where the S&P 500, is it moving up or down? Those, by the way, and consumer sentiment index, those, by the way, are the leading economic indicators. Leading economic indicators. And of course, you could just look at the leading economic indicator report, LEI, comes out every month. I wish it was that simple. Just look at the LEI and those leading economic indicators, and there you're done. You know what direction of the market, you know the direction of the economy, and you're finished. I wish that was that easy. It is not. But these are important things. I just gave you a list of leading economic indicators, and these are important things to watch to try to get an idea of where the market's going to go. That's InvestTalk 101. If you have questions on this topic or any other money topic, money matter, it's time to check in now, 888-99-CHART. You can also make a personal note, an email directly to me by clicking on Contact Steve on InvestTalk.com.
You've always got a financial advisor right there in your pocket. Our 24-hour, anytime line is always open for your question, or you can get a note directly to Steve or Justin. Click on Contact Steve or Contact Justin on InvestTalk.com. And rest assured, they'll get right back to you.
Steve Diego from Aventura, Florida. What do you think about MKC, McCormick and Company Inc. This is a good one for right now. Thanks.
Actually, I kind of like it. It's in the food section. McCormick Company manufactures seasonings, spices, herbs, sauces, and other food products for consumer industrial markets worldwide. And think of this as it is a very large company. People don't think of it as a large company. It's an $11 billion company. And what's good about it is it's very steady. It's very steady. And you can see that in the chart. The chart is very steady, moving up slowly. I think it's a little pricey now. I wouldn't chase this performance because it's really done well in the last month. And I would not chase it. I'd wait for a pullback. It's going to make $4.06 next year, and it's a $90 stock. So that's 20-something, 22, 23, 24 PE, and that's kind of expensive. Return on equity is very high, 26. Dividends, 1.9. Sales growth is only 2% a quarter, so it's not a high growth. And the insiders were buying it heavily around $70, $75, and they stopped. And now it's at $90. That was a year or two ago. That's when they were buying. So I think you were a little late to the game here, so you're going to have to wait for a pullback. Management owns 16% of the company, and mutual funds are buyers of it. Very solid company, very defensive company. Everybody still needs to eat, even in a recession, so that's what makes it defensive. It's a non-cyclical company, but it's expensive. It's too expensive. Remember, I said at the top of the show that I think it's time to buy value. Buy value, not growth, but value. And this one would be considered a value stock, non-cyclical, but it's too expensive at this point to be a value stock. Wait for a pullback. Maybe you won't get it, but I wouldn't buy it. Don't trace it. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. Okay, the good and bad of the U.S. economy. What is the good? It's housing, real estate. Housing starts. Looks like it's still pretty strong. Looks like it's going to continue to be strong, at least for the first half of this year. And that is good for the economy. Housing is a very broad, positive influence on the economy. Because it's not just housing. It's the construction industry. And then when they sell those properties, whether it's a house or apartment or office building, those things tend to get filled, and more spending takes place to do that. Furniture, improvements, whatever. What's bad? Manufacturing. Industrial production, that's a mess. The high dollar, the expensive U.S. dollar that went up all that last year, really hurt our exports and our manufacturing. Then low oil prices just added insult to injury. Remember, we are the largest oil producer in the world. You know, we're a very large oil producer. So when those prices fall, oil companies stop spending money on production and on looking for new wells, on building out their old wells, improve. They cut their capital budget shrinks dramatically, and it has. And what did that hurt? Well, the drillers now the drillers, they're laying off people. Oil companies laying off people, drillers. Okay, what about steel production? Those pipes in the ground. Well, we gotta slow that down. Industrial production gets hurt. And that's a big part of our industrial production. So those are the two areas, good and bad. Housing, industrial production. Excuse me. A reminder for our Bay Area listeners, our Saturday Morning Wealth Conference is coming up on this Saturday in San Jose. It's 9 to noon, February 20th. Survival and opportunities in a volatile market. I think it's a pretty timely topic, thank goodness. Because we pick these 2-3 months in advance, you know, and work on them. But I do think it's very important. And so if you can make it, time to call, time to register. Go to investtalk.com. You can register there or call 888-99-CHART and follow the prompts.
We're glad you're with us on Invest Talk today. And whether you're 20-something or something just past retirement, we're here to help you make better investing and money decisions along the way. But we need to know what you need to know. 888-99-CHART.
Hello, Steve. Hello, Justin. It's Henning from Ukraine. Hope you're well. Really enjoying the show via podcast. I've got a question regarding General Dynamics, ticker symbol GD. And I was wondering if you could provide an entry point for purchase and whether you could put it in a context of what the outlook for the U.S. defense industry might be. Whether it's a good point to buy, what kind of dangers are lying ahead, and whether it's a sector a retail investors like me should really consider. Thanks a lot. Keep up the good work. Bye-bye.
Okay, General Dynamics. Thanks for calling. I appreciate it. Manufactures digital communications, information sharing systems, commercial aircraft, and combat marine systems. Okay, just received a contract not too long ago from the U.S. Navy to provide enhanced electronic warfare capabilities on Navy ship combat systems. What is nice about it is the consistency of growth of earnings. It's not huge growth, but it's consistent. It's going to be up 4% this year and 7% next year. So next year it's going to make $10.10 a share. It's a $131 stock. Okay, so that is, what, a 13 P.E.? And it pays a 2.1% dividend, has a very high return on equity, 26%. Sales are very steady. Debt is very manageable, not too much. Management owns 2%. The mutual fund families are buying it. And is it a good price right here? I think it's a decent price. I do. If the whole market falls, this is good. It's a very cyclical stock. So if the market falls, it falls. This stock would do better with a Republican president versus a Democrat president, and we are in an election year. Okay, so why? Well, military spending usually goes up when a Republican is president, and social spending goes up when a Democrat's president. So those stocks focus in those various industries tend to do better, depending on what kind of leader there is in the country. So you can't just ignore politics. It doesn't play a major role. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying just have that in the back of your mind. But this stock, GD, looks pretty reasonable price. Pretty reasonable price. So I kind of like it. This could be a good entry point. You wouldn't hurt my feeling by putting on half a point position here just in case this is the bottom. But, you know, if we go into recession, it's not the bottom. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. Now, we've talked off and on here about Social Security benefits. We talked about when to file and when to file and suspend, the benefits and the detriments for that. And there's been a recent change in the law about the very thing we were talking about, you know, with spousal benefits. So there's been changes, but there's been lots of confusion. What is the changes? Well, I'm hoping, I read an article this morning, I printed it out and said I need to talk about this on the air if I have the time, and we're going to have the time before the show is over. So I'm going to discuss those spousal benefits, file and suspend, and who does it affect, because it doesn't affect everybody, and it affects younger people more than it affects my age people, but there's certain age groups that it, you know, that... Well, we're going to talk about it in more detail, so I'm going to give you some facts about this. Now, our InvestTalk anytime number is 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. I'm here to answer any questions, any money questions you might have. Again, 888-99-CHART.
Got a question for Steve or Justin?
I'm wondering what out there is going to work better over the next 20 years than buy and hold.
You're the best person to ask it at 888-99-CHART.
Okay, let's go to Vic in San Jose. He wants to talk about Devon Energy. How you doing, Vic?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Good. Thanks for the call. Go ahead.
So I have to find, whether I can go ahead and buy Devon. What do you think about it?
Okay. Devon Energy is an $8.7 billion company engaged in exploration and production of oil, gas in the United States and Canada. It's going to lose $1.22 per share this year, then make 92 cents. But if you look last year, it made $2.52. So if you look last year and compare that with the price, you say, oh, this is cheap. But it's really not. It's like a 20 P based on next year's earnings. So it's not a cheap stock and sales are falling. I think that know, it might be close to a bottom, but I think it's a pretty high risk. It has good cash flow, so your dividend of 4.5% might be fine, but it's a higher risk than, say, I would rather see you in a big integrated oil company, not just an exploration and production company. So that's
what. What do you think about Oxy?
Vic, I got another call. If you call tomorrow, I'll pick it up. Thank you. Okay, I really wanted to get to the Social Security thing too, if we can get to it. Okay, the law was changed. The so-called double claiming, you know, where you could husband and wife turn retirement age, the higher income files or suspends, and the other spouse files and collects spousal benefits. They're trying to get rid of those spousal benefits. So just so you know, though, it still exists, and if you're, you know, if you're born between 1943 and 1954, you'll be fine. You can still file for spousal benefits. Younger people won't. Won't. So you really have to check, you know, if you fit in that category, you still might be entitled to spousal benefits. Now, there's more details on this, but again, it gets complex. But if you're born between 1943 and 1954, you're still entitled to spousal benefits if it applies to you. And it really applies to your husband and wife. Both earned a lot of, you know, earned money. Both turn full retirement age. One suspends, files and suspends the benefits, and the other collects spousal benefits. Okay? Let's go to Daniel in San Mateo. How are you doing, Daniel?
Pretty good. Just a quick question, Steve, about gold. I almost shorted gold today and wish I had. But just wondered, would you be adding to like a GDX position this, you know, as the market does this temporary, I'm thinking?
I will. I plan on it. Yes. I'm going to add to my gold position. You kind of knew it was getting ahead of itself. It just popped up so fast in the last week or two. So you said, okay, come on, it's going to come back down. So we might get a few days of retracement, and if we do, I will probably add to my gold position, not necessarily sell it. I still think it's a good trade on the long side.
Okay. What do you think of NUGT, if you have time?
NUGT?
Yes, sir.
That's a long gold?
Yes, sir.
Okay, is it leveraged?
I believe it.
Yeah, exchange-traded funds seeking the performance correspond to 3x the New York gold. Okay, yeah. Yeah, this is a 300% leverage. You know, I'm not too keen on leverage because they have a hard time doing it. If you get a good pullback, a good strong pullback, then you could use it on a short-term basis. As a trade, you could do it. But, you know, it's a pretty high-risk trade.
I understand, Steve. Thank you for your time.
Thanks for the call. NUGT is the direction gold miners bull, 300% leveraged, everybody. So just remember on your Social Security. Again, if you were born between 1943 and 1944, full benefits starting at age 66. 66, that's your full retirement age. You can file to suspend, and your spouse can file for spousal benefits. If you're born after 1954, spousal benefits go away, basically. Of course, it's not as simple as that. There's more complex rules involved, but basically that was the change. They're trying to get rid of the spousal benefits. And they are getting rid of the spousal benefits. They're trying to get, they think you're collecting twice, even though that's not really true. But that's what they think. If you want, go to the Social Security website, and you can SSA.com, I think it is, SocialSecurityAdministration.com, and you can read up on it. Our time is up. A reminder that if you have a question you'd like to ask me directly, you can send me a note by going to InvestTalk.com and clicking on Contact Steve. That's an email that comes directly to me. I'm Steve Peasley, president of KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm. And for Justin Klein and everybody at KPP, thank you for listening today, and I would love for you to join us again tomorrow, and maybe we can see you on Saturday in our wealth conference in San Jose.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for listeners to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis, and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. Steve Peasley and Justin Klein are principals of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, which retains all rights.